Stop what you're doing.
Stop right there.
Okay.
Let's go. You're now tuned into the hottest show on the planet, The Smith Express Show.
Yo, what's poppin'? It's your boy Smith. We here live on The Smith Express Show. Yo, I know I usually start late at night or later on in the day, but today I got a special interview. You know what I'm saying? A special request to start early. You know what I'm saying? My big homie, been knowing him for a minute. Hardworking dude out there really grinding, getting it in on his own. Man, bro, this man, hey, definitely on the road to becoming a living legend himself. Yo, my big homie, Mike Drone, was cracking.
What's going on, bro? How you feeling, Chris?
I'm good. What's good with you, my G?
Man, just chilling, man. Just, you know, glad we got started early. Got a whole day ahead of me, a couple music videos to shoot. You know, artwork, you know, writing books and shit. So just trying to stay creative.
Hey, that's what's up, bro. That's definitely what's up. So, like, you know what I'm saying? Let's get straight into it. You know what I'm saying? You go by Mike Drone, right?
Yeah.
How did that name come about? Or what's
so
the name?
So, you know, back in the day when I was rapping, I went by Mike Dunn, you know. And then as I moved into more production, getting the video shot, you know, working with the drones, you know, I just switched it over. It kind of made sense from a marketing standpoint. And, you know, it's kind of just a trademark of my music video production now is to have the drone flying and, you know, just trying to make a name for myself in production.
That's what's up. Hey, and that's definitely dope, bro. I'm definitely proud of you, yo. For real.
Appreciate that.
So, like, how did you get into the music video production? What made you want to do that?
You know, shit, maybe 10 years ago, I started shooting a little, you know, snippets for myself. And then as I started working with different labels and, you know, different rappers, just kept holding the camera more and more. And then, you know, found a way making money doing that. You know, it just kind of made sense. When you're trying to express yourself through artistic avenues and coming with the video production, it just, you know, it kind of was an organic function of making videos.
That's what's up. Do you have an inspiration to doing it, or like, did you have an inspiration, or what really inspired you to do so?
Yeah, like, you know, I want to get into making movies once the budgets get bigger, and you know, people like Ice Cube, Quentin Tarantino, Scorsese. You know, I really want to get into the more visual side of doing this music stuff and doing movies and shit.
That's dope. Hey, you know what I'm saying? From then to now, it seemed like, you know, the game in general changes from music to even video production. Like, how do you feel about where it's headed now, the whole music video lane?
Man, it's getting real creative, you know? A lot more animation, you know, camera movements. I mean, everything really is elevating. What I really like to do is shoot with like a gimbal and get a lot of movement in the camera. You know, a lot of the music videos you see, especially the lower budget productions, it's kind of just more straight on, maybe a little bit of camera movement. But, you know, I like to get real creative with it and, you know, get a lot of movement, get a lot of dope shots. And with this drone, you know, I'm able to get some real nice aerial bird's eye views that, you know, kind of separate from the pack. So, you know, I think it's moving in a really cool direction. Something I want to do more of is having like big sequence shots, less cuts. Nice. I would like to, you know, get into more like almost single sequence where it's like from the start of the video to the end of the video, you got a whole script of what you want to accomplish, what you want to capture in the video. And, you know, that's kind of where it's moving. So, I mean, I think it's dope, man.
Hey, you know what? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, even that, you know what I'm saying? Even on that note, like, I feel like it's crazy, like, because, like, I've seen some of your work, and I think it's dope that it do have a storyline, you know, instead of, you know what I'm saying, a couple individuals jumping around with their shirt off in front of the, you know what I'm saying, in front of the camera in the living room. You know what I'm saying? You always had that bright mindset. I think that's dope.
Yeah, and, you know, not to take nothing away from those people, like, that was part of their movement at that time, you know. But everything is evolution, and you know, it's constantly changing, and you got to adapt with the times. You gotta try to be on the front edge, the cutting edge of what's coming around. So, you know, that's really what I'm trying to do now, is trying to stay ahead of myself, you know.
Hey, no problem with that, bro. Hey, you definitely on your way to greatness, bro. For real, for real.
You too, man. Appreciate that.
Good looking. Hey, you know what I'm saying? But so even besides the music videos, the video production, I see you've been getting it in on that artwork. How'd you get into that?
You know, just expressing, right? So like maybe 3 years ago, started drawing a little bit. You know, throughout like my high school years, it was always on the rap end. That was the way I was expressing myself, is through like vocal lenses. You know, it moved into the visual with the music video production. And then once I started picking up, you know, ink and paint, man, it really made me find a whole new way of expressing myself. And, you know, everything is about becoming the best version of yourself. And I think through expressing myself, I was able to find this artwork, you know what I mean? So I took a couple classes at a couple universities. I was going to two different colleges at the same time, full-time, five classes. And, you know, it was right before the pandemic. I was going to school that year of 2019 into 2020. And then when the pandemic hit, I was working in the restaurant industry for a source of income, you know, a couple nights a week, a few nights a week in, you know, fine dining as like a server in the city. And, you know, when the pandemic hit, everything shut down, like, you know, the whole industry, especially when you're on the fine dining service end. I mean, it went to absolute zero. So, you know, losing employment that way, it really gave me a lot of time to find out what I was trying to express in terms of, you know, my content, universal consciousness. And man, it's just, you know, it really came organically. And now I find myself doing it every single day, painting, drawing. You know, I got a whole studio filled with artwork. I got a whole bathroom filled with artwork. And, you know, the next move is getting more into the business end of it, trying to find these galleries, these curators, trying to find a way to have some art shows, sell my art, you know. And like, I'm always trying to be the best. So like, when I was trying to be the best rapper, I was trying to be the best music video producer, you know, believing in yourself, you know, belief is perception, perception is reality. And, you know, just stay grinding and finding out, you know, what it is I want to do with my time that I have on this earth. And man, I absolutely love the artwork, bro. It's like the best way to express yourself for real.
Hey, you know what? And I definitely wish you the best on that, because, like, you know, when I got into the book game, you know what I'm saying? Like, I looked at it as a lane that wasn't flooded, that wasn't crowded, which was easy access, you know. And with you with the painting, I don't think I see too many individuals, period, really expressing themselves through that paint or even going hard with it as much as you do. And I feel like in due time, you definitely going to take over that lane and that crowd. For real, for real.
I appreciate that, bro. Definitely. I'm trying to inspire other people to do this too. Like, even some of my friends that be rapping and making music videos, you know, when they come over to my crib and we working together, you know, I'm putting a paintbrush in their hand. I'm putting canvas in front of them. And I'm like, hey, man, just give it a shot, you know? And at first they, you know, a lot of them are like, you know, taking baby steps into it. Like, man, I don't know how to do it. But man, it, you know, you got to start somewhere. And, with the rap shit, like, you know, everybody started rapping back in, you know, 2008, 2010, 2012. I mean, you know, it flooded the market. And, you know, being from this, you know, Chicago, we all crabs in a bucket. We trying to make it out this thing. So, you know, I mean, I'm just trying to show other people other ways to express themselves and other ways to show the world who they are, the way they think, where they come from. And man, with this paint, you know, it's a whole new way. And man, it's lucrative. Like, it's just like the rap industry. Yeah, only the top 1% really make, you know, real nice money off it. But if you look at how many people rap and how many people have access to a studio And, you know, you can do this in your house. You can do the same thing with painting, bro. You can do the same thing with drawing. And there's less people in it. There's less competition. Now, the competition might be, you know, of a higher caliber because these people, you know, that are paying millions for a painting that took you, you know, you could finish a painting in a day if you set up, you know, 4 or 5 hours to it. And it's like, man, it's just lucrative, you know, like we can make money doing this, writing the books. You know, I'm trying to tell my homies, like, man, tell your story. If you got a story that you want to tell that's even fiction, man, write that down, you know, and like there's just money to be made, ways to express ourselves, many different avenues, and we gotta take advantage of that.
Oh yeah, hey. The painting game, like I already know, like bro, like, and it's like how hard you go with it, I'm pretty sure in no time it's gonna pay off, bro. Like do you have a famous painter?
Yeah, like my favorite is Jean-Michel Basquiat. He's from Brooklyn. He, you know, he started painting by visiting the museums with his mom. He had a Haitian father, and you know, like he had a short-lived success from like 20 to 27. He overdosed, but like, man, he made his way to the absolute top with like, you know, having inspirations from Andy Warhol. He walked into a restaurant with postcards that he made, and he was selling them for $1, and he seen Andy Warhol, you know, so he started from the bottom, and bro, he made it all the way to the top of the industry. I like a guy named Cy Twombly. He does a lot of like scribble work, and you know, it's kind of minimalistic almost in its approach, but stylistically it's almost childish. And you know, where we've gone as an art culture from, you know, the time of the Renaissance, where it was, you know, like more like realism and you know, actual like representation of what people actually saw with heavy detail. People will work on these things for, you know, years. And now where we're at, it's more like I say, like childlike. It's more like finding that inner child in you, and, you know, expressing, you know, you can go crazy with it, man. You don't have to worry about detail. You don't have to worry about, you know, the things that these people had to worry about 500, 400 years ago. Like, we've evolutionized into something completely different. And, you know, again, staying on the front edge of what it is that's coming, you know. Also, you know, Jackson Pollock, you know, obviously, you know, guys like Picasso and Rene Magritte. I mean, they, you know, they all are inspiration to me. But, you know, definitely Basquiat, Jean-Michel Basquiat. For people just hearing this, definitely go check them out. If you haven't heard of them, if you have heard of them, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah, so things like that.
Hey, I'm going to definitely check them out. That's dope. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, you know, like, a lot of people, when they get in the lane, you know, especially coming from Chicago, like, a lot of people don't like to sometimes share that spotlight. It's good that you know what I'm saying? You able to put your ego aside and, you know what I'm saying, give a shout out to what really inspires you to do something like that. That's dope. So, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you do the painting, the videos, you know what I'm saying? I see you out there feeding the homeless. Like, yeah. Like, how'd you get into that? You know what I'm saying?
You know, it's funny, man. Like, I've always been the type to try to share anything that I had, blessings, right? I don't come from much. You know, I come from trailer parks and one bedroom apartments, you know, filled with people, you know, kind of fucked up home life. I'm sorry, I messed up home life, but like, you know, at home, growing up, you know, I had things like crackhead stepdads, alcoholic parents. And so, you know, I know, and I also had an uncle who was pretty much homeless. Like, if it wasn't for people looking out for him, he definitely would have been a homeless individual. So, you know, coming from that, I know that our social structure growing up can become something like us being homeless, you know, and especially in a time like now where people are losing their jobs, you know, it's like, man, I'm just trying to, even though I ain't got a lot, I'm really trying to set my foot into making a small difference, you know. And even if it's as simple as making a batch of soup and bringing out soup to homeless people, making sandwiches, you know, bringing those out to people, I set up a GoFundMe for like sleeping bags and tents, you know, went out there, did that, especially when it's real cold, you know, just trying to, you know, old beds, old blankets. I bring out, you know, twin beds to the homeless and set them up for them. And, you know, like half the time you get these people out there that are homeless that are really, they have, you know, mental disorders, you know? So like, it's not like they're really doing it to themselves. It's just, you know, just the chemicals in their brain, you know, won't allow them to hold a consistent job, won't allow them to be a part of the family structure that they come from or they want. And, you know, I think we're supposed to be the light of the world if we feel that in ourselves. And we should really be trying to help people out, you know. And when it comes to homeless people, I don't mind, you know, putting up, you know, a couple tents for them, or, you know, bringing them something to eat, or just talking to them, you know, like, it's just about making a small difference in the community we come from. And, you know, in Chicago, to be a homeless person, that's got to be real hard with the cold winters, hot summers. You know, a lot of people just drive past them, you know, on their way to work, on the way home from work, and they just don't give them really second thought. So, you know, I'm just trying to do my little part. Is it?
Hey, for real. Hey, you know what I'm saying? Cussing is allowed. You know what I'm saying? This is Smith Express Show. You can say whatever it is you want. You feel me? But right. Gee, hey, fuck that, bro. You the fucking GOAT, bro. I swear to God, bro. That's dope on some real shit. You know what I'm saying? No cap, no faking, no acting shit, bro. That's dope as fuck on some real shit, bro. I salute you on that. Hey, and you know what I'm saying? And when we get off, bro, I'm gonna hit you up to show you how to make what you do legal. You know what I'm saying? Like, to where you could get, like, business wise and, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you could be able to get more structure behind you. You know what I'm saying? We definitely gonna get it in, bro. Some real shit, bro.
Definitely. Yeah, I got ideas too, man. Like, you know, with getting some advice from you on the business structure of it. But, like, you know, like, a lot of these people, what they really want is, like, a hotel room or, like, somewhere to stay, right?
Right.
And when you give a homeless person $20, $30, you know, a lot of the times in the back of your head, even if you're a great person, you're sitting there saying, are they going to buy a bottle? Are they going to buy a rock? Are they, you know, are they using that money for what they say they're not? And, you know, I'm not one to judge, but I think one way to be assured of that would be setting up a system where you got, like, almost like a business card, and this business card you can hand to the homeless person, and it's almost like a voucher for a night in a hotel, so they can only use it for that. You feel me? And imagine if we set up a system where we could get these people who, you know, have money, have a job, and they wouldn't mind, you know, handing out a business card once a month to a homeless person that asks them, hey, you know, can I get a hotel room for the night? And you hand them this little voucher, and all of a sudden, you know, you're giving that person a place to shower, sleep for the night, get out of the cold, whatever, you know. So I definitely got ideas.
Oh, yeah. Hey, we definitely going to get it in, bro, on some real shit. We definitely going to get it in. That's dope. You know what I'm saying? Like, you definitely been blessed on some real shit. For real. That's dope as fuck, bro. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, even taking it back, though, you know what I'm saying, to a little bit, you know what I'm saying, rewind a little bit. You talked about you doing the music thing. Like, how'd you get into that? Like, what inspired you to do music in the first place?
Man, I think like, being young, I always had, like, older friends and cousins that would be listening to, you know, Coolio, Gangsta's Paradise, you know, NWA. And, you know, just the vibe, the culture, it was very consuming. It was like, all-encompassing. And, you know, it was almost like a warrior mentality, you know. And me coming from, you know, where I come from, you're always looking for, you know, a group to fit into. You're always looking for that wolf pack to belong to. And I found it in rap, you know what I mean? I found the people that, you know, seemed like they were going to grow me mentally, physically, you know, in my hustle. And, you know, it's just, it fit into what my upbringing, you know, like, especially with, like, Eminem, you know, being a white guy in this urban culture, you know, seeing him come from the same kind of trailer parks and vibe I came from when 8 Mile came out, it was like, man, I'm ready to get in the studio, you know, back then. And, you know, that kind of elevated into you know, performing, making mixtapes and CDs. And then, you know, I found my way into Chicago, you know, hustling the mixtapes for, you know, local DJs where they would put my song on their mixtape. And then, you know, I'd hit up, like, you know, 79th Street up and down Cottage to, you know, Exchange. And, you know, we'd stand out there for hours selling our mixtapes. You know, you only end up with, you know, about $100 or something. But, you know, when I was like 17, 18, you know, to be able to make $100 legally, you know, and, you know, do little things on the side, whatever, to make a little extra money. It all fit into what I was doing, you know, and I was able to express myself, you know, it had girls looking at me like, you know, I was able to, you know, bag a couple girls off just the rap end, and, you know, everything just kind of made sense. And then, you know, meeting you at Crossroads in Chicago Heights,
yeah,
you know, performing, that was a dope little scene. They knocked down the building, now it ain't there no more.
That's crazy. Hey, and bro, I, you know what I'm saying? It's so much history and memories in that building, bro.
For real.
Man, bro. Hey, and, like, you know what I'm saying? Like not to say, like, not even to be on no stalker, but, like, just on some real shit. Like, me seeing you for that first time, bro, you definitely had that glow. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
I appreciate it.
Like, no problem. Like, on some real, you know what I'm saying? Like, You like, I knew, you know what I'm saying, you was more than just a basic, you know what I'm saying, like, it's hard to explain, you know what I'm saying, like, you know how when you look at somebody, they hustle, you know what I'm saying, you was constantly grinding, you was constantly getting in, you was constantly showing up, you know what I'm saying, like, you had that take it or leave it flow, you wasn't doing anything to try to impress nobody, you was you.
For real.
You know what I'm saying? And that was rare, especially at that time, you know what I'm saying, when everyone was trying to, you know what I'm saying? Like, not to knock anybody, but a lot of people in general, not just at the Crossroads, but people at that time was more so trying to do what was popping. And at that time, it was either making a dance song,
right,
or try to spit some punchlines or say things that they know deep down that wasn't them. You know what I'm saying? And
right.
You was you. You know what I'm saying? And that's
for real.
Dope.
For real, I appreciate that, man. I would show up, you know, with 10 people, I would show up with 2 people, I would show up by myself. It didn't matter, bro. I was really, at that time, especially because rap was my only real way of expressing myself, I didn't have the music video avenue, I didn't have the art avenue, you know, nothing like writing books. It was just straight, you know, I was just bringing my poetry on a beat to, you know, a place I could express myself, man. And it was very inviting at that place, you know, like, the whole culture in the area, man, it was just inviting, dude, for everybody. And I'm glad we got to experience that. That's how we met, that's why we're here right now. So, like, man, I'm giving all the gratitude in the world to that place, for real,
man, bro. For real. Sometimes when I drive past, bro, I just be thinking about the nights, bro, like, you know what I'm saying, because when that Crossroad went down, it made some people, but it definitely broke a lot of people, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and that's
real.
Why, you know what I'm saying, for real, I salute you for even still standing, you know what I'm saying?
For real, yeah, man, like, yeah, if you look at it, there was people that would show up that seemed like they were the star of the show, and now you look at them,
yeah,
and they're nowhere to be seen. They just, you know, they're not doing nothing to express themselves anymore. And then you have other people on the opposite end of the spectrum where it's like, you know, they wasn't even really showing up every week, and you know, they had their songs and stuff like that. But, you know, now you look at them and they got a whole business, or they got, you know, they're making you know, like me, making art, making music videos, doing some kind of transformation where they elevated themselves. You know, and like, you just got to keep believing in yourself and just believing in your path and get to where it is you're supposed to be.
That, hey, and that's real, and you know what I'm saying, that's dope though, to see how people did, you know what I'm saying, like, crossover, or, you know what I'm saying, like, still standing, you know what I'm saying, because low key, that was 14 years ago.
Crazy, man, we getting old, it's nuts.
Man, for real.
But we started early, you know what I mean, like, we got in there early, you know, I think it was 21 and up, bro, and I was like 17, 18, you know, having a Corona in that month. So, like, man, it was
real,
kind of a nice vibe too, because we was able to, you know, be in the spot, bring girls, you know, get some shine, have some drinks, you know, even, and you didn't need no ID, nothing. It's just, you just walk right in there.
Yeah, hey, that was dope though. Like I said, like, it was definitely like a practice stage, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It was dope, man. Shout out to everybody at the Crossroads, though. You feel me?
For real, it was like a warrior school for some young cats. For real.
For real, for real. I definitely agree with that. You know what I'm saying? So like, where now is 2021, 14 years later, where are you with the music now?
You know, I haven't made much music in the last 5 years. You know, I had a mom that passed, and...
Oh, damn, sorry to hear about that.
No, it's all good, bro. But, like, at that time when she had passed, like, it was about 6-7 years ago, I was going pretty hard with the music. You know, shout out Coterie. You know, I was going real hard with them, rapping, making music videos in the studio. You know, we was working real hard, and then, you know, my mom was, like, my best friend. So, like, you know, losing her, it was to stage 4 pancreatic cancer. It really messed my head up, man. Like, and then after that, I had some friends who got murdered. And, you know, I started having this, like, kind of revelation that what I was talking about in my music was, like, you know, it wasn't really what I was trying to put out in the world. You feel me? Like, even though I was involved with people who, you know, was doing these things, it was like me, myself, I would talk more about, you know, like kind of the evil side of Chicago. And like, man, I just had this feeling like, man, I don't want to be putting this out into the world, bro. Like, that's not what I'm trying to do. And one time I was on the block with some guys, and this young cat came up to me. He had to be like 8 years old, 9 years old. And he started rapping one of my bars to me. And it was like, shoot him up, you know, this and that. And it really, man, at that point, I was like, I'm done putting this out into the world, bro. I got little kids thinking I'm idolizing murder. And even though it was just something organically that was coming out of me, that was like, you know, when I was making it, I thought it sounded good. When I heard it come back to me from a young voice, it messed me up, bro. And I was like, I'm not putting this out in the world. So now, the last couple music verses that I've written and I've been in the studio and done, it's a lot more uplifting. It's more like if I heard someone say it, like especially a little kid on the block, I'd be like, you know, I'm putting something good out there. You know, I'm talking about James Baldwin, talking about, you know, Basquiat, talking about, you know, good things, you know. So it's just becoming a man, you know, realizing your effect and your footprint you leave on this world, your legacy. And, you know, I kind of just, it almost like I turned my back on the whole rap side of thing. And if I ever go back, it's definitely going to be a lot different, for real.
That's what's up, bro. Hey, you know what I'm saying? And you know what I'm saying? To even have that mindset, though, bro. Like I said, even in today's era, you know what I'm saying? Whether, you know what I'm saying, young or old, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people, you know what I'm saying? The rap game, period, is just not the same. It's more so, like, sounding the same. No one has that, you know what I'm saying? That what can I, like, how can I say, like, you know, back in the day, you could easily spot a rapper or who's on the track without even seeing them. You know what I'm saying? You knew, like, their flow, their distinctive style. It's like with everyone sounding the same. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's pretty much hard. And it's like, I salute you on that note for even wanting to change. You know what I'm saying? I think that's dope.
I think the same way, what we put in our body for drinking and eating is the same type of thing that we can put into our minds. It's like a mental diet. And if we're not listening to positivity, if we're not around positivity, we're gonna spew that same negativity we're taking in. So even when I find myself listening to, you know, rap, I still like the drill vibe. I still like all that stuff, but I keep it at a minimum. I'm not trying to overdose on it. I'm not trying to let that come into my life too heavy. So I'll balance that with reading books. I'll balance that with, you know, motivational videos. And then also, you know, I'm getting more into, you know, music that kind of strays away from, you know, the avenue of, you know, negativity, for real.
Hey, that's dope. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, did you have any main influences for you getting into the music field? Like, did you have any, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, people you looked up to or admired that made you want to do the music? Or it was just
When I started, it was definitely Nas. It was definitely Tupac, DMX. And then as I like grew and got older, you know, it changed into like Talib Kweli, Mos Def. You know, it definitely changed. And then, you know, I mean, I like things like, you know, Kevin Gates and, you know, I like Lil Durk too. And, you know, everything he talk about ain't always, you know, on the Chicago side of things either. Like, you know, he still got some decent music that's like some positivity and stuff, you know, but I'm just trying to balance it. So inspirationally, you know, I even find myself, you know, listening to like older things like, Etta James, B.B. King, you know, Muddy Waters. I like, you know, those older vibes. There's this dude, Charles Bradley, who, I came across like maybe a couple of years ago, and I'm really liking his music. He was a homeless man for like 50 years, bro. And he would perform in the subways, James Brown music. So he has that same kind of similar, you know, music inclination as James Brown. But then he got found like 3 years before his death, you know, a few years back. And definitely check him out for anybody that's listening. Charles Bradley, he's dope, man. He's real raw.
Hey, that I'm gonna definitely look into him. Because, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, even back then, like, when you first started to now, the music game changed drastically. Like, yeah. Even on the business side, like, the way we consume music. Because you remember back in the day, like, you had to have a CD. Like, you know what I'm saying? You had to have something. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't, you didn't have as much of an easy access to it as they do now. You feel me? Like, how do you feel about that? Like, with the whole YouTube thing and, like, the way the music game is now? Like, because it's, like, pretty much, it's at the fingertips now. And it's, like, it's so much music being flooded. You know what I'm saying? It seemed like music changed quicker. You know what I'm saying? Like, than it did back then. You know what I'm saying? Like, back then, you had to wait till Tuesday to get the latest album. Now, it's, like, you got to wait till midnight. Like, yeah, how you feel about that?
It definitely seems like it's more accessible. You know, it seems like more people can get into it now than ever. You don't have to book a studio time. You don't have to have a CD tower. You don't have to go to the store and buy 200 CDs. You don't have to order, you know, 200, you know, CD inserts. You don't have to pay someone to do the artwork. I mean, really now, like you said, it's at these kids' fingertips.
So, you doing music, you know what I'm saying? The music videos, you feeding the homeless, got the artwork going, you know what I'm saying? You shooting commercials, that's dope. Like, who have you done so far?
You know, just recently I shot for a business called Flaves. They're in Chicago. It's a black-owned business. The food is amazing. We did a commercial over in Orland for them, did some drone shots, you know, the commercial game is something I've always been interested in, especially with video production that I've gotten into the last couple of years. So, you know, I'm just trying to figure out a way to, amplify that, you know, probably build up more of the equipment aspect, get some more cameras, get some more people involved and, you know, see where that takes us, you know, and,
That's dope. Like, how did you jump into the commercial game? Like, even with the different businesses, like, that was an easier access for you, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, how did that come along?
Yeah, like, you know, making the music videos, you know, even previous to getting into the music videos, I had always thought of the conceptualization of making commercials. So, like, it kind of seemed like something I was going to get into eventually. Just had to get my feet wet into the video production, but you know, that's definitely going to be taking off in the future. You know, businesses, restaurants, whatever, you know, I did some for like, a bodybuilding, company and, you know, little businesses.
That's dope, bro. Hey, I swear to God, bro, like everything that you doing, bro, is definitely inspiring, motivational, bro. On some real shit. So, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the books, though, bro. Like, you say you wrote some books. You
know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, the book I'm working on right now, It's called Venison Filet with a Cherry Reduction Sauce. The premise of the book is going to be, you know, kind of a memoir through my memory of being the son of a chef. You know, the good side, the bad side of it, seeing his artistic abilities with it. And then also, you know, the other side of it, there's a flip side of that coin where, you know, how it broke up my family because the restaurant industry, you know, the women are promiscuous in the restaurant industry, and that's nothing against them, but it's like, you know, there's a lot of young women in the game. There's a lot of young women in the restaurants, you know, waitresses, hostesses, and, you know, having a father that was tempted by those avenues, you know, definitely was at least one aspect of breaking up my family with a marriage with my mom. And then, you know, having to go down that road, you know, living with him and then living with my mom, and, you know, seeing how the divorce kind of affected her. And, you know, I mean, it put us into positions where, you know, we had to live in trailer parks. We had to live in those one bedroom apartments. We had, you know, men in and out of our life that, you know, some of them had, you know, addictions to crack and a lot of alcohol. And, you know, it definitely is. It's looking at my life full circle. And, you know, it's through the lens of being the son of a chef. So, you know, it's almost like a form of self therapy and, you know, analyzing, you know, how and why I think and things like that, man. It's good and healthy to do. You know, I mean, I would recommend it to anybody that has the time to put in. And, you know, it's not like you have to have a lot of time, even if you set up 20 minutes to, you know, 45 minutes a day, just to get your thoughts on paper. An easy way to do it is with speech dictation. So you find a way that your computer is going to have like a microphone, so you don't have to actually type it. It comes out more fluently, has more flow to it. And, you know, especially during the quarantine, man, dude, previous quarantine, I never read a book. And I know that sounds crazy, but like even in high school, I wouldn't read. Like I would find a way to, if we were supposed to read a book or something like that, I would find a way to figure out the story through clip notes or through asking somebody like, oh, what happened, you know, in the chapter we were supposed to read or whatever. Quarantine time rolls around, and bro, I started picking up books and reading them, and now I'm like deep into like, you know, I don't know, 20 books or something.
That's dope.
Yeah, man, like reading definitely is something that can help you think more clearly, gain knowledge, gain perspective. I'll tell you about a few of the books that I read. I got them right over here, but like, you know, I'm big on things like alchemy and you know, like James Baldwin, you know, Richard Wright's Native Son, you know, Martin Luther King's life story, Where Do We Go From Here? You know, Ibram X. Kendi, Stamped from the Beginning. It's the definitive history of racist ideas in America. And, you know, even going back previous to that, understanding the land that we live on here in America, there's this book called Empire of the Summer Moon about the Comanche Empire, the fall and rise of it, by this guy named S.C. Gwynn. You know, Spaceship Earth, or the Operating Manual for Spaceship Earth from R. Buckminster Fuller. There's this book I read, James Nestor's Breathe. It's all about ways to gain lung capacity. You know, it's just a lot of things that, like, you know, you get this knowledge and it's going to change your life. It's going to change the way you think. And literally what I'm coming to find out is the way we think is going to shape our reality, like our perception. And if we're trying to become the best version of ourselves, we have to get this knowledge. We have to get an understanding. We, you know, it's really hard to live the life you want to live unless you have the knowledge you need to live that life. So like, you know, I'm really trying to gain this knowledge, man. And I'm trying to tell people, you know, even if you don't want to read, start with audiobooks, you know, start with something where it's like you gain this knowledge, because, man, this knowledge is key to evolutionizing your own life. You feel me?
Alright, so like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the books you've read and the books that you're working on, you know what I'm saying? That's dope. You know what I'm saying? That's definitely a dope concept. You feel me? Like, for real.
You got any recommendations for some books that I should read?
No, and look, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm gonna be honest, you know what I'm saying? Like, me being an independent book publisher, how I got into it was, you know what I'm saying? First of all, I was in debt, you know what I'm saying? And I needed something. Like, you know what I'm saying? Student loans was coming after me. And so, like, I was in a space where I wanted to change my image. I wanted to change, you know what I'm saying, how I looked and dressed. So, like, I started with the preppy look, you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. And I had a sweater vest in the backseat of my car. And, and you know what I'm saying, me being down and out, you know what I'm saying, my homie saw it and began roasting me, bro, going crazy. Like, you know what I'm saying, hitting me with crazy combos. Of jokes, you know what I'm saying, making you know what I'm saying, making everyone laugh, you know what I'm saying. But as he was going on, you know what I'm saying, he slipped up and said, it was like, it looked like you finna go sign some books, and as you know, everybody else laughing, holding their stomach, but it was like a light that just went off in my head, and it's like I went home, studied on how to be an independent publisher, you know what I'm saying, because it's like. The book game is crazy, like, financially, if you know how to go about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, once I start writing books and putting them out, because my goal was never to be the number one author, never walk the band. My goal was just to pay my debt. You know what I'm saying? Now, because of that, you know what I'm saying? Like, but because of that, like, I'm debt-free. I don't owe no student loans or anything. But even as I keep going with the books, like, I never realized or knew how crazy and influential books can be. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
So, but with me and my inspirations, to believe it or not, R.L. Stine.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he has different pen names, different author names. But the whole Goosebump theory, them series that he was doing, it was times like, you know what I'm saying, me looking into him, it was times he'd write anywhere from one to up to like almost 90 books a year.
Crazy.
Yeah, and it's like you can't go wrong with a book, you know what I'm saying? And what's so crazy is that like me, when I began writing, it's like I knew that I wanted to write something that meant something. I didn't want to be writing just to be writing. You know what I'm saying? I knew somewhere down the line, you know what I'm saying, someone was going to pick it up, or, you know what I'm saying, it's just going to change the way someone think. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
Like, you know what I'm saying? And like I said, I had no clue, because just like you, I was not a reader at all. You can pay me to read nobody books. You know what I'm saying? Even during school, like, I remember, you know what I'm saying, grade school, like, I would have to do book reports, and, like, I used to just make up author names, make up titles, and, like, concepts of books to make it seem like I read a whole book. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Just to get by type thing. And, I mean, and it definitely worked, but it's crazy how the book game is, though, bro. Like, and to me, like I said, that's a lane that's wide open.
Real.
Severely wide open. You know what I'm saying? Like, even taking it as, like, from advertising to... Because, you know what I'm saying? You can advertise in your books. You could turn that book into a magazine. Like, it's ways to go about it.
In the movies, too. You know, like, our TV shows, everything.
Oh, yeah. Like, majority of... like, I'll probably say a high majority of films come from books. You know what I'm saying? Scripts come from books. You know what I'm saying? So, like... Definitely keep at it, because it's like, you know what I'm saying, and how you say you go about it with the whole mic and not typing, bro. When I first started, bro, I started on a notepad, bro. Then I had to retype, you know what I'm saying, I had to type everything up on my computer. But it's like now, like, I got my theory, my concept, and everything that gets me right, you know what I'm saying? And it's like now I could write, publish, and have it in schools, prisons, stores in less than 6 weeks.
True, crazy.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Sorry, oh, yeah, no, good looking, bro. But you know what I'm saying? But that's my story of, you know what I'm saying, of the whole book game. I know, you know what I'm saying, it took a while, you know what I'm saying, a little story, but you know what I'm saying?
Like I've been saying with you, man, we've been talking. I gotta pick your brain and get some knowledge and some information on that, because man, I'm ready to make that transition into expressing myself through literature for real.
Oh man, bro. Hey, and to me, like I said, like I went in it blind. I didn't have no oversee, like, you know what I'm saying? And it's one thing about that, like with corrections and making the corrections, bro. I'm not the best speller. I always hated the punctuation game, cause you know what I'm saying. But like I got a solid team now that you know what I'm saying, that knows how to jump on it. You know what I'm saying, way better and way faster. Cause it's like when I first started, it was just me. So it's like once I turn it into stores and someone to spot a misspelled word or a punctuation error, I have to pull it out of stores. And then, you know what I'm saying, resubmit, do out the band. And it's like between my first two books, bro, especially that first one, I probably say I did it like 14 or 16 times.
Damn, crazy.
I swear to God. And I'm talking like within weeks and days of just boom, 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 boom. And it's like, trust me, I was getting discouraged. I was ready to say F all that and do out the band. But, you know what I'm saying, I definitely stood in there, you know what I'm saying? And definitely, you know what I'm saying, financially paid off student loans and everything, bro.
That's what's up, man. That's a good story to be motivated by, man. Just for myself and for other people hearing this, like, you know, you gotta try something new, even if you have no idea how to do it. Like, you know, everybody has to have their first day in every single avenue. And man, just like to see where you're at now, to see what you're doing with the books and, you know, with the podcast, man, is real inspirational to myself, and I know to other people listening. So, man, congratulations. Keep it up. You know, a lot of love over on this side for that.
Good looking, boss. Like, man, the game is crazy. And it's like I said, like, with the book, you know what I'm saying? We definitely going to talk. We're going to chop it up. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But, you know what I'm saying? Moving on, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know what I'm saying? It's all about you. Mike Drone in the building. Definitely an honor.
Definitely, man.
So, like, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, you accomplish so much in life. Like, to me, I think on my low ends, bro, like, you know what I'm saying? I definitely owe it up to God. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
So, like, you know what I'm saying? Like on your end, like, I know, like, no two people beliefs are the same, exact same. So, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what is it that you do for prayer and meditation? You know what I'm saying? The visuals for yourself.
You know, man. What I pray for is knowledge. I pray for wisdom. I pray that God puts the things in front of me that I need to hear, that I need to see, that I need to feel. Like, that's what I really be praying for. I pray that my mind is open to receive those things that, you know, he's trying to give me in a wisdom base. You know, I meditate for clarity. I meditate to, you know, have an open mind. And then also I try to visualize where it is I want my life to be. My studio space, you know, with 30-foot ceilings, you know, ladders that I have to crawl up and down to do my artwork that's, you know, 20, 30 feet high. You know, I'm really trying to hypnotize myself into a better life. And there's a theory that if you use the first 5 minutes and the last 5 minutes of every day to hypnotize yourself, you can hypnotize your reality. So, like, of visualizing what it is you want to be and where you want to be. And like, if you can actually visualize the actual space that you want to be in, like for me, it's having this big ass warehouse looking like almost like a Manhattan style art studio where it's like 30-foot ceilings, you know, a big space. You know, that's what I keep visualizing. I keep seeing myself on that ladder painting, you know, on these canvases that are just, you know, too big to even imagine. So I keep visualizing that. And that way my life is targeted toward becoming that person, becoming that visualization of myself, you know? So, you know, I got beliefs that there's a universal consciousness, like almost like you can put it like, you know, we're all a part of the same kind of space dust, that we all come from, you know, the same makeup of, you know, atoms and molecules, that like we're almost just experiencing this reality in terms of from our own standpoint. And, you know, I'm just trying to tap into that universal consciousness, you know, hypnotizing, meditating, visualization, wisdom and knowledge. And, you know, that's kind of where I'm at. And God fits into all of those things, you know, like I've definitely been on the part of, thinking like, you know, from a Catholic standpoint or from a Pentecostal standpoint, that God was something that was like looking over us. Right. But as I get older, I tend to feel more like God is inside of us and that we are supposed to manipulate our reality the same way God, you know, created this world. Like that's kind of where I'm becoming. That's kind of where I'm at now. So, you know, definitely it's all about evolution.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And I definitely agree with that. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, like to each his own, like, you know what I'm saying? Like I'm not trying to be canceled or, you know what I'm saying, cancel Smith Show, you know what I'm saying, for people expressing themselves, you feel me? But, like, right. I definitely honor and respect your beliefs and everything, bro. Because, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people be quick to debate and quick to tell someone about the downfalls of their beliefs and stuff. Hey, you know what I'm saying? I salute you, bro. For real, for real. Because, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of times, like, you know what I'm saying? A lot of times, like, people express their belief, but after hearing someone else's opinion, they tend to down their own belief. And it's like, you know what I'm saying? As long as you stand 10 toes down and be firm on what you believe in, bro, hey, you know what I'm saying? The world's definitely yours, for real, for real.
And you know, too, like, when it comes to religion, when it comes to seeing God, like, you know, our own perceptions, what we have to keep in mind is that every single thing we've been taught about God was from another man, like, from another woman. It was from another human. So, like, I think people really should try to find a way to interpret their own beliefs, their own vision of what they see, like, you know, being less influenced by what you were taught as a kid or what your religion is trying to tell you. Like, you know, you got to come up with your own. You can't just believe something because you've been told it 100 times. Like, you got to find your own way to find your own reality, your own beliefs. Like, that's kind of where I'm at too, is like, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not trying to see God through a lens of what somebody else told me to look through. Like, I'm trying to find a way to look through my own lens. And, you know, when it comes to God, bro, like, if you think about it, we got a brain that's like, you know, a foot by, you know, half a foot or whatever. It's this small brain. Like, when you think about the universe and how big it is, and if God's in control of this whole universe, like, why would we think that we would have the real answer? Like, so I'm still open to everything that's coming. I'm receptive to anything that's, you know, put in front of me. But at the end of the day, you have to make your own belief system. You have to make your own decisions, for real.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, I definitely agree. You know what I'm saying? Like, but like I said, though, like, so, like, you know what I'm saying? It's so many ways, like, you know what I'm saying? It's a million and one ways to seek God and to see God for himself. And some people don't even think that it's a God, you know what I'm saying? Salute to everyone, bro.
True.
You know what I'm saying? For real, for real.
So, even the word God is a man-made word, you feel me? Like, we're putting that entity into a box by calling it an entity, by calling it God. Like, we're literally giving it limits just by that, just by giving it a word. You feel me?
Right, true. I definitely agree. And bro, and to me, in my opinion, bro, that's a whole nother subject, bro. Like, on some, right. Like, and that subject could last like 40 days long. You feel me?
Right, for real.
But that's a dope topic, though. You know what I'm saying? For real, for real. So, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just trying to wrap everything up, though, bro. You doing a lot, bro. Like, don't ever doubt yourself. You know what I'm saying? Because, like with me, bro, like, you know what I'm saying? Seeing, like, I'm the only one pretty much. Like, you know what I'm saying? Moving the movement. Like, it can be kind of like, damn, like, am I doing the right thing? Am I even supposed to be doing this, bro? Hey, you definitely on your shit, bro. I'm definitely proud of you on some real shit, bro.
Appreciate that, man. Definitely. I want to tell some people to check out a few of the guys that I got in my circle. Check out Coterie, Vincent in BC. Check out Trouble YS. Check out Opzo. You know, those are some of my newest people I'm working with. Also guys like Cashier, Taz the Artist, Nate Grams. You know, they all come from that same spot I come from, so definitely go check them out. You know, with myself, Mike Drone. You can find me on you know, Facebook and Instagram. My artwork, you know, you can find links to that through Michael Patrick Donahoe. You know, just get in tune with me. You know, if it's about business, you can hit up Chris Smith, and you know, if it's legit business, he'll give you my phone number, and you know, that's how you can get in touch with me.
Oh yeah, most def though, bro. Hey, for those tuning in, though, you know what I'm saying? For those tuning in and then trying to get in the game and accomplish the great things you've accomplished, you know, from music to painting to feeding the homeless, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got any encouraging words for them?
Yeah, man. Like, you know, everything that you want to do, it starts with, you know, taking that first step. You know, even as simple things like, you know, I mean, cleaning your gun, right? Like, the first time you go to clean your gun, you're sitting there like, oh, I don't know where the oil is supposed to go. I don't, and that's just a metaphor for, you know, life. But, like, you know, going to the gym, whatever it is you're trying to do, like, just take that first step. You know, stay consistent. You know, find other people that might, you know, be able to mentor you. You know, and don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to be the rookie. Don't be afraid to be, you know, green in any business, because, man, everybody had to start somewhere. And for me, you know, being where I'm at with music videos, paintings, you know, in the rap thing, like, now that I'm getting into writing books, you know, I reached out to Chris Smith to ask him for help, you know. So, like, you know, don't be afraid to try to elevate yourself, man, because every single day you're not doing what it is you feel like you're supposed to be doing is just wasted energy. And life is momentous. So if you can create some momentum in the direction you want to go, man, start it right now. Go, whatever it is you think you want to do, go start that today. Go start it right after you listen to this podcast. You know, whatever it is, like, go give it a shot, you know, like, go do it.
That's real. That's deep and that's dope. For real. I definitely salute you, man. For real. They need more people out there like you.
Man, bro, I'm trying to be inspired the same way I inspire people. So, like, I'm just trying to fit in, you know, wherever it is I get in. And you know, it's all about elevation, man. We gotta become the best version of ourselves. We gotta believe in ourselves, believe in the people you're around. And one big thing is the same way you feel about yourself, that you should be where you want to be in life. Have gratitude for the people that are already there. Have gratitude for people's accomplishments. You know, never any type of resentment that you have in your heart. And a lot of people have it and they won't admit it. Even myself, I catch myself being like, man, like, this dude has this business, or this dude is doing this or making this money. Like, man, I wish that was me. But you know what? Reverse that with the feelings of, I'm thankful that I was able to see this person, guy, girl, whatever, be in this position, because that's influential to me. And be happy for them the same way you would be happy for yourselves. All people deserve a shot at whatever it is they believe in, whatever it is they want to become. And, you know, just putting those vibes in the world, because life is all about vibes, man. And, like, you got to create the vibe that you want to be before it is that you become that person. You know?
That's real talk, bro. For real, and that's real, G, because, like, you know what I'm saying, you definitely have people, like, you know what I'm saying, not saying that they're supposed to pay homage, but it's like that they feel like not doing so, or doing so, it will alter their ego, or, you know what I'm saying, or throw shade on themselves. And I think bigging someone up at any given time, you know what I'm saying, not only enlightens them, but enlightens yourself as well.
Definitely.
For real. So, hey, soon as we get off, bro, bro, we finna get into them, you know what I'm saying? We finna chat it up, you know what I'm saying? And then we're gonna release the podcast and watch it take off, bro.
Appreciate that, man. For everybody listening, man, just believe in yourself. Keep tuning into the Chris Smith Show. Man, I love what you're doing. I love the vibes you're putting out. And you've always been a real one in my book, man. And, man, I salute everything you're doing, man. Keep it up.
All right, for sure. You're good looking, bro. Likewise.
All right, bro. Hit me later on.
Yo. Wait, hold on. Say that again. We're breaking up a little bit.
I said hit me up later on today. Let's chop it up a little bit more off the mic. All
right, then, for sure.
All right, bro. Love.
All right, love, yo.
Peace.
Peace. Yo, there you have it. You know what I'm saying? Another dope interview with the big homie Mike Drone. You know what I'm saying? He all everywhere, all over the place, being successful, man. Definitely inspirational. You know what I'm saying? Motivational, getting it in. There's no such thing as a dumb idea, bro. For real, for real. If you see yourself and could do it, you know what I'm saying? You definitely could achieve it. For real, for real. You already know what it is. Signing out. Smith on the Smith Express Show. Let's get it.